Yeah. I was sold to a sick European by a rich African battling. Middle passages, I can't go back again. Battling years of denying history, lies with mysteries, wives with misty eyes, watching they niggas be beaten viciously. Battling of the wilderness in North America, ran by the river, only stopping to pray. Chased by predators, terrorists with etiquette who vote and kill their president. Their capacity for evil so evident and prevalent. Ain't no hesitation to evolve, a nation dissolve while we sit back waiting to evolve. Those who were trading their freedom for their protection deserve neither a name, tradition, religion. You learn Jesus. Turn the other cheek, inherit the earth. Just stay meek, the way you speak. Try to walk, we chop off your feet. Fast forward to 2003. Niggas beef, the psychology of children, the slaves of front deep.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
What's beef?
Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
That's beef.
Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
And so is your own people, sometimes it's your own people, yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
What's beef?
Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
That's beef.
Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
So is your own people, sometimes it's your own people, yeah. Beef is not what Jay said to Nas.
Come on,
beef is when working niggas can't find jobs. City trying to find niggas to raw, trying to find bigger guns so they can finish the job.
Yeah.
Beef is when the crack kids can't find moms, cause they in a pine box, a lock behind bars.
Yeah.
Beef ain't the summer jam for Hot 97. Beef is the cocaine and AIDS epidemic. Beef don't come with a radio edit.
Nope.
Beef is when the judge is calling you defendant. Beef, it come with a long jail sentence, handed down to you in a few short minutes.
Yeah.
Beef is when your girl come through for a visit, talking about I'm pregnant by some other nigga. Beef is high blood pressure and bad credit. Need a loan for your home and you're too broke to get it. And all your little kids is doing is getting bigger. You're trying not to raise them around these wild niggas. Beef is when a gold digger got your seed in a manicured handout like, pay me, nigga. Or I'm telling your wife for starting up some foul rumor that'll ruin your life. Beef is when a gangster ain't doing it right, and other gangsters done decided what to do with his life. Beef is not what these famous niggas do on the mic. Beef is what George Bush would do in a fight.
That's right.
Beef is not what Josh said to 50. Beef is well done herb not being here with me when a soldier ends his life with his own gun. Beef is trying to figure out what to tell his son. Beef is oil prices and geopolitics. Beef is Iraq, the West Bank, and
Strip.
Some beef is big and some beef is small, but what y'all call beef is no beef at all. Beef is real life happening every day. And it's realer than them songs that you gave to K Slay. This has been a Black Star PSA from Most Def, Pretty Flacco, Black Dante, and the Black Star Embassy.
Black Star.
B to the K.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. You're listening to La Rage du Peuple, 12 hours of special programming on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, www.ckut.ca on the World Wide Web. You were just listening to Black Star, What's Beef? Prior to that, an interview with Jean Saint-Ville about Haiti solidarity organizing. There's two parts to that interview. I can only run one part, but on the upload, again, you can listen to both parts. So check out ckutnews.wordpress.com in the next few days to get the links and all the information. Coming up next, we have an interview that was recorded on September 24th, 2006 by Charlie of Prison Radio here at CKUT. He spoke with Peter Collins. Peter Collins is currently under a life sentence at the Bath Penitentiary in Ontario. He's 44 years old, but he's been in since the age of 23. While inside, he's an artist. You can check out his illustrations at buriedaliveillustrations.com. This is a really interesting interview that Charlie did, like I said, back in September, and we'll go to that right now.
Has been in the Bath prison for 23 years. I recorded this conversation with him on the 24th of September, 2006.
could you introduce yourself and describe your surroundings?
Sure. Hi, my name's Peter Collins. I'm serving a life sentence at the prison in Southern Ontario. I'm 44 or 45, something like that. I've been inside for 23 years, and I guess I'm involved in art and political efforts to change the way we respond to problems in society.
What does life 25 mean?
Well, in Canada, what it means is you're sentenced to life, so your natural life, and the 25 means that you're not eligible to apply for parole for, you know, a quarter of a century. So after a quarter of a century goes by, then you can go before a panel of three parole board members and basically try to appeal to them to, you know, give you some relief from endless prison.
Have you been before a parole committee lately?
Yeah, I've been before the parole board this summer. I went before them, and they thought I could use some more prison.
What kind of changes have you witnessed during your 23 years in the Canadian prison system?
I came in on the tail end of some fairly substantial riots and upheaval in the prison system in America generally. So in the you know, Canada and its southern neighbor, there was a lot of riots, a lot of political upheaval, and so one of the things that the Canadian prison system did was they put in place a system to vent prisoners' problems so that they could be, in theory, dealt with fairly and effectively, and prevent, you know, future violent riots and problems, hostage takings and such. So what they did was they allowed for lawyers to represent prisoners' grievances, but what happened was they ended up in court too often, and they were getting you know, they were having to change their behavior too regularly as a result of court hearings that essentially they were paying for. So they changed that, and they put in place a correctional investigator's office, and that's worked beautifully for them because they pay the correctional investigator, and the correctional investigator doesn't really do anything except for every year produces a nice report about some of the problems that they see in the prison system, and nothing ever happens as a result of them. So that's one of the changes that I've seen, that we have, you know, this toothless watchdog watching the prison system. Another one of the changes that I've seen is the reliance on prison informants to police the prison system, and they use this information, whether it's true or not, against prisoners, and prisoners can't defend themselves against it because it's a faceless, nameless information source. So you have no avenue with which to defend yourself from that type of allegation or, you know, innuendo or what have you. So those are some of the changes. I guess other changes were when I came into prison, the HIV/AIDS epidemic had just started to surface in our society, and we had tried to argue for you know, harm reduction measures a couple of decades ago, and corrections, the people who worked in there were saying, you know, that there was no injection drug use or no tattooing or no sex going on, so because that was illegal, so therefore it wasn't going on. And that sort of head in the sand attitude prevailed for a long time, and there's many a huge amount of corporate belief structures that maintain that attitude. So while there's been a lot of changes in regard to how we respond in the community to the AIDS epidemic, hasn't really changed so much in prison, but it's getting a lot harder for them to continue to keep shoving their heads in the sand. But nevertheless, they continue to try to do that, and quite effectively.
Speaking of harm reduction and the HIV epidemic, could you describe the healthcare facilities at the Bath Institute?
When you know the word they use institution, so you're doing a prison radio show, right? And
yep.
You should try, in my opinion, not to use their language, and their language is institution. You know, it's because these aren't institutions and penitentiaries, because these are, like, that's when they were talking about having we would come to these places and we would pray to the Bible and do our penitence, right? What I've tried to do is steer away from using their dishonest language, like as if we're an institute or a correctional institute or a penitentiary, because that's just a lie, you know, that they perpetrate their bullshit with. So I think prison is a more it's a more honest word, you know, and they don't like it when you use it.
Could you describe the healthcare facilities at the Bath Prison?
Well, it's a trailer, one of those trailers that. So the architectural face of it is that it's a trailer. It's one of those stationary trailers. They bring it in wheels, and you know, take the wheels away, and it stays there. It looks like a you know what a trailer looks like. One of those sort of construction trailers. So that's what it looks like on the outside, and on the inside it's a hallway with I think six different rooms, and there's nurses on staff 5 days a week for about 6 hours a day, and I think it's probably a difficult job, but it's you know, for them to do. But it's certainly, I don't think they do justice to their profession in general in prison. I think there's a corrosive element in the prison system. Just naturally, when you're caging people, I think you have to disregard them as actual human beings to allow yourself to live with some of the things that you do or don't do for. Or what you do to people. So when you work in these places, I think that happens. And when you live in these places, I think that happens.
Who do you spend time talking with, and what do you talk about?
Well, I'm the peer counselor here, so I do harm reduction counseling, if that's what you mean. So for people who have found themselves just recently diagnosed with one or more of the different diseases that flourish in these places, I'm, you know, there to talk to them and help them if I can. I don't really do much socializing in prison. I have friends outside of prison who I talk a lot with, and write to and talk on the phone with and work on projects with. I find, I think that's about the best I can do on that question.
Speaking of interacting with the outside, could you talk about buriedaliveillustrations.com?
Okay, that's a site that my brother set up. I don't know where he got the idea, but he got the idea and then started putting up some of the stuff that I write and talk about, and some of my artwork. So it's a really interesting I've never seen it, so it's hard for me to talk about it. All I know is that, you know, whatever political cartoons I'm doing or paintings I'm doing or writing about, you know, something that I think might be wrong or could be fixed or whatever, he puts it up there for me. And so apparently some people look at it. Apparently, the American Army is the biggest visitor, biggest single visitor, or the American government. Because I guess I've criticized George Bush. So, you know, the fucking freaks that they are, they think they have to keep an eye on the website just in case any more cartoons come out and threaten the overthrow of the world or whatever the fuck they think they're, you know, looking for.
And I understand that people viewing the website can get in touch with your brother and he will relay messages to you?
Yep, that's true.
Can you describe the, you were speaking of your cartoons and paintings, are art materials easy to come by?
No, they're really, it's really difficult because like the American government, the Canadian government, feels very threatened by satire or criticism, and it would seem that that's a lot of what I do, is criticize some of the decisions and policies that they promote, or you know, what they're doing in the world. So I get a lot of resistance now from the people who work in prison. They try to, you know, like sometimes it takes me years to get an order of art supplies.
You're listening to a conversation with Peter Collins, which was recorded on the 24th of September 2006. For more information about his art, about his sentence, you can visit buriedaliveillustrations.com, 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 buriedaliveillustrations.com.
Well, I spent last night in Las Cruces jail, raining hail, born to fail, nobody come for to come my bail, sun don't you rise no more. I shot one man on the county line, took his time and I blew his mind. Sitting here doing time, so don't you rise no more. Well, a restless wind is whistling through my window, through my head, through all the strikes that I've survived. And in my hour of darkness, I keep counsel with the dead, just enough to remind me I'm alive. Well, I write to the governor for to hear my plea, but he don't even answer me. Judge said he's gonna set my spirit free, so don't you rise no more. Gavel fell, he chose the day, gallows high, 13th of May. But I don't plan to go that way, so don't you rise no more. Good night, my Andalusia. Don't buy all the lies that they feed you. And no.